Well, it might be ambitious, but hopefully this can be the defining article or video concerning the reign of Shushank the First of Egypt. And look at this table here. Today, first of all, is March 30th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 14:53 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you once again. This is the Crucible article. Chapter 9, paragraph 10, the Table 2, or Table 2, I should say, Year 5 it's called, WRS Feast of Pharaoh Shishak the First, Shishak, or Shoshank, as he's also called. Year 5 of his reign, there was a feast called a WRS Feast, but the letter S is, of course, a special Egyptian letter, not one of ours. One of our alphabet, not the Roman alphabet, but a different alphabet, or not the classic Latin alphabet, which we use in English and many other languages use, but it's an Egyptian word, WRS. Okay. It's a feast that occurred in year 5 of this King Shishak. And this table in the article, The Crucible of Credible Creed, and in chapter 9, paragraph 10, shows that the only year that coincided with the Egyptian date, which was Pharmuthi 25, or Four Parrot 25, such that there was a new moon on that day, okay, which was required for, in order for the, it was a new moon. The WRS feast was, and is believed to have been, a new moon. So it was given as an Egyptian date, and we know that was Pharmuthi 25, and so that's December 17th, because you can find that out using the Egyptian calendar. As we understand it, it goes back, and we can use the calculator on Will of Jehovah to find that too, in the year 989 BCE. The Egyptian date, December 17th, is also a new moon date, December 17th. And that happens to be year 5, starting from 993 as year 1 of Shoshank the First. So it's a brilliant alignment, especially since we've already shown through the dating of Dynasty 21 and 22, of Egypt, that 993 is year 1 of the co-rule of Shoshank with his predecessor Susen II. It's a perfect agreement, because that's 14 years after the death of Simon, or Sennacheris, in 1007 BCE. It's a marvelous alignment. Now we're going to get into some interesting discussion here. But before we start the paragraph, we need to look at something. In the book Ancient Egyptian Chronology, which was edited by Eric Hornung, and this is page 232, but it was edited by Eric Hornung, Rolf Krauss, and David A. Warburton. It's from 2006, this book. I'm looking at it. Yes, 2006, to verify the date. Now, on page 232, it's the most authoritative discussion of this information that exists anywhere, to my knowledge. And it says, let's go back, find it. Here it is. From Egyptian sources, we do not know when Shoshank's or Shishank's campaign took place. Construction work on the pylon and the court, on whose exterior walls the scene of triumph is depicted. That's the famous victory relief of Shoshank the First. Began in his year 21, that is, the construction work, possibly his last year but one, as recorded on a rock stela. But the interesting footnote says, or the note at the bottom here, however, we can in no way be certain that the campaign took place immediately before the construction work started. That's the last complete sentence on the page. And then on page 233, the next page, there's a footnote, okay? There's no reason why it could not have taken place several years earlier, but the footnote, 83, says, even if we could establish that there was a causal relationship between the campaign and the construction work, the work in Thebes, which is the relief, could still have been begun long after the campaign. And that's why we have this remarkable chronology that we have, which we, even though we can't quite be sure when the year 21 was that was referred to, whether it was immediately following the campaign, which would fit perfectly with our knowledge in our chronology of when the campaign occurred, which was, or at least when the defeat of King Rehoboam occurred in his year 5, which is 973 in our chronology. That's exactly 20 years after 993, which is year 21, evidently, or possibly the very same year, or within a year. It's remarkable. It's a perfect alignment with that possibility, but then why did he stop or fail to complete, in that case, his relief, if he lived until, as we believe, until 980? Because had he died earlier, of course, then the 15 years reign of Osorkon the First, his son, wouldn't be applicable, even though Manetho says he reigned 15 years. It wouldn't be applicable unless Shoshank had lived until 959 in our chronology. So, but the other possibility is he may have not begun the inscription until 959 and then died. And that would fit because he could have begun the inscription long after the campaign. And there's strong... Now that's all for that discussion. That's the most remarkable discussion, is it not? It's a really remarkable discussion. Now let's continue the reading of our paragraph. There is strong evidence of Shishak's Palestine campaign that it even occurred at the end of his reign of 20 years. Okay, what evidence that would be that it was at the end of his reign would be that it was the evidence is that the inscription was not completed. The victory relief was not completed. So he died possibly shortly after the campaign. The strong evidence is mainly that he had a campaign. That it occurred at the end of his reign is not as strong. Certainly, we don't know that. Radiocarbon dates may be wrongly attributed to Shishak the First, the same king we're talking about, where the correct destruction layer is not identified. If they take radiocarbon dates from the wrong destruction layer, they're going to get wrong results. And this can lead to the apparent reinforcement of late dates. It is a travesty that the conventional dating of Shoshank to 943 BCE is perpetuated by a lack of critical judgment. The reason we may take this stand is because of statements that display utter ignorance of the scale of a generation. When I see the word ignorance, it makes me think, well, yeah. I mean, anybody who doesn't believe that Jesus did miracles, I mean, he also walked on the water, right? But he did medical miracles. He healed the blind, walked on the water, calmed the storm. The list of the things he did goes on and on and on. There were many, many, many witnesses at the time. So to ignore all of that means that it takes more faith to not believe than it does to believe. I mean, that's what ignorance is like. But, you know, I mean, it's quite an accomplishment, in other words, to not believe that Jesus was a real person or to not believe that he did miracles. It takes a lot of faith to take that position. But in this case, also, look, to not believe the scale of a generation, the failure to account for the existence of a genealogy of 9 generations from Shoshank the First to year 37 of Shoshank the Fifth, in duration corresponding in years of reign to the period from King Rehoboam to King Jotham in the Bible, corresponds. And that's tragic to not account for the existence of this genealogy of nine generations from Shawshank the First to year 37 of Shawshank the Fifth. Okay, this is the discussion of this whole paragraph. Rehoboam and Shawshank the First were contemporaries, as many hold. So we're not going to just rely on, Manetho and our reign length calculations or dead reckoning of how many years each king ruled and counting them up. We're going to go with generations, calculate the number of generations, because we have this thing called the Stela of Passanor. Rehoboam and Shawshank the First were contemporaries, as many people think. We've been saying that because that's what it appears from the Bible, saying Shishak came into Jerusalem in year 5 of Rehoboam, and Shishak is identified as Shawshank the First. Okay, so they were contemporaries, and the number of nine generations is sufficient to allow, with little variance, the averaging of uneven generations. Thus, the genealogy of the Serapeum Stela confirms the word of God. Okay, is that the Passanor Stela? I think it is, because it also mentions Passanor. I think it's got more than one name. The genealogy of the Serapeum Stela. The Serapeum Stela, which serves as the basis for the 22nd dynasty of Egypt, lists in opposing order a descent from Shawshank I to the Stela's author, quote, Prophet Nate, comma Harpason, end quote. And note that Harpason is the same name as Passanor. It's just rearranging, the letters are mixed up. But that's what happens in languages and in translation and copying and different dialects. You get Harpason instead of Passanor. Remarkable, isn't it? It's just an incredible example of this mixing up of the letters. Harpason instead of Passanor. If you didn't see it together, you wouldn't realize it was the same person. By way of exactly nine generations, as follows. Passanor, the Memphite priest of year 37 of Shawshank the Fifth. And that Passanor as Harpason is not in question there. And second, after Passanor, Hempta. Third, Passanor. Fourth, Hempta. Fifth, Tahujankef, born of the prophetess of Hathor of Heracleopolis. That's it, Heracleopolis. King's daughter, the matron, Tensepe. That's all under number 5. 6, Nimlot. 7, Osorkon. 8, Takealoth. 9, Osorkon. 10, Shishonk. You see, there are different spellings sometimes. Takealoth or Takealoth with TH. 10 is Shawshank, which is, or Shishonk. Exactly, in other words, 10 minus 1 is 9 generations. The family tree, now we're quoting from the Handbook of Oriental Studies, Section 1 now. And this is also written by the same person who wrote the article in the Ancient Egyptian Chronology from which we were quoting just now about regarding the victory relief of Shawshank, okay? It's the same author, just coincidentally. But this is from Ancient Egyptian Chronology too, right? This might even be the same exact article. It's page 235 to 236. Okay. The family tree in this, he says, in the Serapeum Stela of Passanhor from year 37 of Shawshank the Fifth, includes a reference to a king Osorkon who ruled 6 generations earlier, whose father, grandfather, this Osorkon, and great-grandfather were kings named Takealot Osorkon and Shawshank. While their forefathers were not kings, but rather Libyan princes. The non-royal origins of the earliest named king Shawshank, the exact correspondence of the names of the kings with those listed by Manetho for this dynasty, and the period of time separating Passanhor, 9 generations, to year 37 of Shawshank V, clearly reveal that these were the first kings of Dynasty 22. The corresponding generations of King Rehoboam in reverse order are likewise given in the Bible record as follows. And when we're talking about Dynasty 22, just because I think it helps to see it, as long as I can find it here. Where is it? Where is Manetho? Here he is. Okay. Right. When we're talking about these Kings of Dynasty 22. There is Dynasty 22, Shishak and Osorkon, right? But then, right. So, and Shishak is the first person in the listing, on the list of that genealogy. Where is he? Where are we? Oh, yeah, okay. Here we are. The corresponding generations of King Rehoboam in reverse order are likewise given in the Bible record as follows: Jotham, Azariah, Amaziah, Jehoash, Ahaziah, Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, Asa, Abijam or Abiu, he's called there, and Rehoboam. King Jotham's reign ended in 742 BCE in the Crucible, this coinciding precisely with year 37 of Pharaoh Shishak, or Shoshank V. Now, that no longer coincides with the same year in our chronology of Shoshank V, because we've changed his year one. We've raised it from 778 to 805, so it's changed by that amount. However, still doesn't cause a problem in the genealogy, as we talk about in the later discussion of that genealogy in our later articles after the Crucible. The generation which might be determined from the one case is nearly the same as found in the other, and this is found to be 26.2 in the case of the kings of Israel. 17 years was the reign of Rehoboam. Abijam was 3 and 38. Asa, is that true? What's the 35? I'm trying to see what all these things are here. I don't remember exactly the details of this calculation, but I know it was very, very extensively done, detailed, in a detailed way. What's the 41? I'm trying to think. Well, we did it. We did it at the end of the Moses Part 2 article, right? We calculated all those numbers. That's right. And we got the average generation from those kings. So you should be able to get it by looking at that article, but I hesitate to do it now because of time limitations. Where would that Moses article be? Where are we? Is it here somewhere? Okay, it's not there. It's further over. Oh, yeah, there's... We're getting there. It's good to slow down a bit, too, while we're doing it, so we don't get... Okay, it's not that far over. Maybe I moved the article somewhere so it was closer. Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know where it is right now. But we showed that already in a previous study. It's Moses Part 2. I could just Google it right now or search it and find the article. That's not the article. I know what these articles are when they pop up. They're not... Is that it? Let's see. Well, sometimes it could be showing a different part of the article and I'm not recognizing it, but usually I recognize the articles when they pop up. However, we're benefiting by slowing down a bit here. What's that say? That's Moses Part 1, right? Yeah. That's Moses Part 1. So we can just jump to Moses Part 2 right here and then jump down to the end, right? And go back and find the article plate. There it is. So this is where we did the calculation of these kings, the reigns of these kings, right? We did an average of all these kings from Rehoboam on down. So I added up these numbers, 41 plus 17 and so on, right? And then, you know, plus 3, right? And such, et cetera, et cetera. Then I continued on, and some things canceled out here and some things didn't cancel out, but Let's see, plus three. Yeah, these were the ages at the sun's birth. All of these, this column was the age at the sun's birth, right? And the average was here 26. Okay, we went, if we go down to a later point where we went down to, how far did we go down? That's the next question. On our list here, let's drag this over so we can see it closer to where we're actually working. Okay, here we go. Here we are. We're getting there. This might be where it is. Or this is where we are. Yeah. So when we go down, we went as far as Jotham in that chronology from Rehoboam, right? So Jotham, when we go to Jotham, right, we only go down. Here's Jotham right here. Yeah. Right there, number 11. Okay. So we go down and we didn't do the average down to that far. We didn't do an average right there. We didn't stop there. So we've gone and stopped at that point, right? So we've taken all these numbers, added them all up. What's the last number on our list here? Oh yeah, there it is, plus 38, minus 35. Look at all these things. I even put a minus sign in there. Right, plus three. Wow. Ending with 25, 19, and minus 20, let's see. Well, that's 44. Yeah. 25 and 19 is 44. That's the last number in for Jotham, so that looks right. And then we go to the previous one. You know, we can see it. We can work it all out. We can find out. That's the point. We can find out is the point whether this calculation was done correctly or not. We can check it. The previous before the 44 was 38. We can check them one by one. I know they're right. I know they're right because I know I took a great deal of pains at the time. But let's say we don't see it yet. 25. Oh, yeah. Okay, so. What is. That's 56. Minus 25, yeah. Crazy. I don't see the direct correspondence. Well, we know it's near 26.2 because that's something that we've already established, but okay, but we'll have to look at that in more detail. But you can't do everything in the same day, obviously. You just can't do it. As determined for the sons of Rehoboam, that's the average, okay? Why can't I do it right now? Because it's too much. Let's see. 22. Where's the 22 and 23 and all that stuff? Well, 46 minus 25 is 21. So there's 21. Right? Yeah. Right. Minus 10 would be 15. I don't think that number appeared there, but maybe, well, there goes an 18. It doesn't. How do we do that? Well, maybe this was, in fact, maybe this was the case. No, this is not the Egyptian kings, because we didn't know their ages at that. So this is definitely the Israelite kings, because we knew their ages. Or we could come up with an expression for their age at the time of their firstborn son. The point is, okay, for the Egyptians, we get 993. When we average those nine generations, we got 28. But that would have to be reduced because we've raised the 778 by to 805, which is 25 years. I believe that's right, yeah. So that will lower the 28 down to something closer to 26. So it's really even better than what we've said here, because we didn't change Shishak, we just changed Shoshank the Fifth. Neither average differs significantly from 27 years, which is the average expected generation. So we're basing our calculations here on average generations. We know from Moses that the average of Jehoshaphat to Josiah was 22. What's that? Years reigned. David to Asa was 26.7. What happened here? Years reigned. Well, that's right, the years reigned. This number's too low, though. This is the number given for... something else. The 21 there, it's just too low. So that's in the conventional case, it said here. Right. In the conventional case, it came out to be too low. It's too warm in here. Way too warm in here. Way too warm. Wow. The temperature suddenly changed. And I've got the heater on. But I probably need some heat. Let's see. So what is this about? Right. Jehoshaphat to Josiah. 8 years more. 27 years. We're looking at the averages of the... I don't understand what the point of this table was right now. Average age at the son's birth is 24 here, overall. This is the grand total, right, of the ages divided by the number of generations. 24. Yeah, so what happened here? Why is it so low for Jehoshaphat to... Is this the convention? Okay, yeah, this is the... Okay, it's the wrong table. That's the conventional example, right? Okay, so here's our example. Okay, I was looking at the wrong table. Table 5, H5A, compared to this other table, H5B. Yeah, right. That was what it was, yeah. So here we see the average, 26.7 and 26.75 for Jehoshaphat to Josiah. Yeah, that's how we proved the conventional chronology was wrong, because it had an average that was too low. So if we look here at Jotham, we see, 25 plus 16 is 41 minus, there are different numbers, so you're going to get, these are the numbers, 44. 38, 22, 23, 18, 27, same exact numbers that we saw in this theory. 44, 38, 22, 23, 18, 27. Yeah, that's the same number. So, yeah, okay. So we see any legitimate chronology properly deals with generations. And now we see how the lie of too low a chronology came about. It is unrealistic, okay? The reason it's bad is too is because if you believe that generations are 22 years, then it's going to cause other problems, like you're going to think your children should be prodigies at very young ages, when actually that's unrealistic and unfair, as the article in this paragraph says also. So our Crucible article mentions that. So it came about... it came about because they weren't concerned with generations at all. They were concerned with something else. had nothing to do. They didn't care what the generation was in their calculations, whereas when we rectify everything, making sure that the calculations include the generations and everything is right, it works on every fact. All the facts are included. It works perfectly. I mean, we're including more facts in our chronology than any other chronology has ever done. It's far more comprehensive, and it's more true. I mean, it's truer. It rings true. What is it? Where are we? Come on. I'm looking for the... I'll find it, hopefully. It's not there. Oh, I know where it was. Near to Manetho. I'm looking for our scripture for today. I could find it much quicker, too. But I don't mind. Let's just scroll through our tabs here. This is somewhere around here. There it is. So, Proverbs 14, 17, and 18 for today, little children, is our scripture or proverb. The one quick to anger will foolishly deal, and hated are those who their plotting conceal. The trust of a fool is where folly is found, but knowledge will fully a wise one surround. That's today's proverb. We're almost out of time now. We don't have to read scriptures every single day. Let's summarize what today's reading is. 2 Chronicles 21. I got engrossed in that, but that's what is required. I spent days and weeks and months on those things back when I wrote that Crucible article. That's what I did for months, not just hours or minutes like I did today for a few minutes. I did that kind of work for months and years. Finally, Jehoshaphat lay down with his forefathers and was buried with his forefathers. And Jehoram, his son, began to reign in place of him. So this chapter is about Jehoram. And when Jehoram died, he was not being desired. In verse 20, he was 32 years old when he began to reign, and for 8 years he reigned in Jerusalem. So they buried him in the city of David, but not in the burial places of the kings. He was not a good king. And we're now down to the last few seconds. In Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 7, this is the final chapter of Micah. Do not put your faith in a companion, verse 5. Do not put your trust in a confidential friend. That's the most memorable scripture probably of all of this chapter. And that's the end of our study and video for today. I don't feel like I want to apologize, because I think we did really well. It was a good example of how hard it is to do this kind of research. And it's going to be the end of our study, March 30th, 2024, of the Common Era. The time is 15:26 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie, saying bye for now.